Welcome to the Digital Rapport Podcast, where you discover how to connect, influence, and inspire in the digital age.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Digital Rapport Podcast. I have a treat for you today. I have Mandeep Rai, who is an international global authority on values and the author of international best-selling book, The Values Compass, What 101 Countries Teach Us About Purpose, Life, and Leadership. It's also a bestseller on The Wall Street Journal and The Sunday Times. Is that right, Mandeep?
Wall Street Journal. It is. It is. Just double checking.
That's fantastic. So Mandeep, welcome. Thank you very much for taking this time out to have this conversation with us. It's an honor to get you after such a long time. And I just wanted to pick your brains really and just share your insights with the audience around the whole idea of values and how it relates to, you know, communication, rapport, inspiration, all that kind of stuff. So just to begin with, I mean, what would you say are values?
What are values?
Yeah.
Okay, well, values are essentially, it's really interesting. I'm looking at my son's vision board right now. Let me just share it with you. Well, I don't know how he'd feel about it, but I'm just going to share it anyway.
Right.
So this is his vision board. And I've never used that. And it just happens to be where I'm sitting. But, you know, these are his values. Values are what's important to you. So from his vision board, which he's... you know, he's made to last him the year or a period of time, which is similar to what you do with values. He's put in, oh, I might as well just, as the example, I might as well just carry on showing it to you. So he's put in a Swiss watch for precision. Mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe the Rolex is more ambition. Who knows what the Rolex is? He's put in a fast car, which could be... you know, his aim to kind of do really well so that these things are possible. He's put in animals, iguana, which we had seen in person in Madagascar. So I think some kind of, and he's just started to donate to a WWF. So I think it's some kind of service, looking after the environment, care. He's put in India. So I think that's hopefully, in my interpretation, that might be tradition, belief, language. He's put in open freedom, that open free road, and St. Petersburg. So potentially travel. Now, I've not done that before, but since we are talking about values, it seemed to be appropriate because values are essentially whatever is important to you. And so from his vision board, I would have said, what's important to him is probably doing well, freedom, exploration, learning, and precision. So values are whatever is important to you. No one can describe or dictate what your value should be, or no one should describe or dictate. Of course, over time, you will find different influences do make an impact. So, you know, your upbringing, there will implicitly be a set of values there. Your faith, there'll be a set of values there. Your peer group, whoever you spend, you know, maybe the kind of five closest people to you, they will be shaping your values according to their values. Maybe even your peer group, but also the people that you're interacting with on social media, for example, they're also a peer group. Recently, we've been spending quite a bit of time on Clubhouse. There's also a set of values. Each room that you go into is purporting a different set of values. So your values are integral. They're within you. But how you are being shaped is always based on other value factors. So every community, every organization will have its own unique set of values. And you will naturally gravitate towards those communities and those groups that share your values.
That's fascinating. I mean, like when you look at your, you know, the title of your book, for example, you said you went to 101 countries and you did research on like the core values of that country, right? Like how did that come about? Did you plan it? Did you say, I'm going to go to 101 countries and find out what their values are? Or was it because you were just traveling and you had made notes and stuff? Or how did that come about?
Okay. The title is 101 Countries Teach About Purpose, Life, and Leadership. And that's really the aim with which I was traveling. So part of my travels have been report to service. And therefore, the objective has been whatever story has required. But often it would be the other way around. I would say to them, I'm going to, let's say, East Africa or West Africa or Central Africa or wherever I happen to be. And I think this is really important. And then I'd have to convince the editor why it's important, why the world should know about it, what value it adds. So that was probably how some of the travel happened. The other parts of the travel happened, a combination of working in different places. So I've lived and worked in the US and have traveled a little bit because of that. I have studied, lived and worked in Australia and tried to travel as many countries on my way back as I could, overland as I could. So a lot of Southeast Asia. I have studied, worked and lived in the United Arab East. I was fortunate too, because I was heading the first media venture capital fund for the MENA region. So I got to travel quite a bit of the Middle East and North Africa. And then I have worked for several NGOs. When I was working for the European Commission in Brussels, I also had the opportunity to travel different places for NGO work and for the European Commission. So it's been a combination of working, studying, and then obviously having an interest, just wanted to see the world whilst it was possible. And I'm really glad, because who would have thought we'd come to a day when travel isn't possible?
Yay.
Yeah, so actually I've been to 150 countries.
Right.
But just chose 101 for the book.
Yeah. And what was it? I mean, how were you inspired to write your book? I mean, where did that come from? Why values? And how come you've gone into the whole kind of values element of things?
Well, firstly, we are always making our decisions according to our values. Values are almost the software that is running us. It's running what we do, how we do it, what we prioritize, what comes first, who we talk to. It's shaping you and your day, and therefore your week, your month, your work, your year, minute by minute. So it's almost like, why wouldn't you be looking at the DNA that is operating you, or the MO that's operating you? And yet no one really talks about it. No one, you know, how many discussions about values have you had, right? It's not something that people talk about. So I could see that there was, my interest is in why the world looks the way it does. And therefore, naturally, you have to think about, well, why are people focusing on what they're focusing on? And how can we live our very best lives? So it's a business leadership book. Mm. And I have seen that when businesses are very clear about their values, that the way they then operate, the way their consumers engage, the way the whole supply chain is motivated and engages, the way even the employees then come into work, it's a game changer. It steps up from, you know, 40, 50%, yes, this is another service or a business, to potentially people coming in with 110% or 200% of themselves. So for example, young people, millennials and younger, they're constantly deciding that, or they are willing to pay, we have done many surveys and seen, they're willing to pay 50% more for a service or product that they think is being created in alignment with their values. Right. And they would rather not work for you than have a job if you're not in alignment with their values. So already you can see that whether you're speaking as an individual, whether you're speaking as an institution, for example, schools, I would hope, any parent would hope that they're receiving a good level of education if they're sending their child to school. Education is a given, academics is a given. But what else? Like, I want to send my child to a school that's really going to inspire him or her, but much more importantly, make him into, I say him because I have two sons, but make, I'll say him and her for the purposes of this podcast, to make him or her the best that they can be, to have them such that they're able to listen, to have them such that they can have empathy and compassion, to have it such that they're taught about teamwork. And when schools, for example, we are looking for schools right now, we have we're at a transition period. And one particular school I remember we visited, and I've been doing some work with them, and they said, so every time we talk about teamwork, every time we play a game, every time we're on the sports field, whatever we're doing, we make sure that it's not about who's winning, who's losing. It's about, have you been a team player? Did you pass? Did you think about the others? And then the child that you're rearing and the child that comes out of school is a child that people want to be with, or an adult that people want to be with, an adult that you want on your team because you know that he or she knows how to care for others, knows how to inspire, knows how to lead, and knows how to operate in a team. So there are so many ways in which knowledge of your values or understanding of values dramatically enhances your life. And the reason why the book about values, because it's just not spoken about. Mm. It's not explained. It's not operationalized. And yet if I told you, which is the case, that the book is actually a tool, tool for your back pocket to help you ascertain what your key values are, then why would you not put that into your back pocket, such that you then have a touchstone, a card or a document or even just the five value words that you know are most important to you. And so that wherever in the world you are then put after that, or wherever situation you have to face, or whatever circumstance it is, when you know what's most important to you, you can navigate it with, as the Dalai Lama says regarding the book, he endorsed the book, and he said it leads to greater success, fulfillment, and happiness. Mm. And I think that's what knowledge of your values gives you. It gives you a greater harmony in your decision making.
That's amazing. I mean, it sounds like what you're saying is that when we're able to tap into ourselves and what's true to us, as opposed to other people's values being imposed on us, there's space and room there for growth and just becoming a better human being, right? I mean, you got brilliant example there with your kids there, and they're already doing vision boards. I mean, that's amazing, because that's like, you know, creates a goal and a direction for your brain, and it's allowing them to just unleash whatever in their mind. That's fantastic. I think that's such an amazing thing. And for you to go and look in and research in all these kind of countries, that's fascinating. I mean, did you find that, I know in the book you've got different values for different countries, right? And did you find that, this is interesting, so you got the country and then you got the individuals in that country, but you reckon that the individuals in that country also reflect the values of the country, right? Whole.
Yeah, I'll explain that. But since I am in that vision board room, I want to show you one last vision board. This is the other son, sorry. And you can see he's decided his values are to try hard in school every day, to have celebrate and to make sure it's caught, to explore, to have sports and health. I don't know if you can see that. To be his best self. And to be like the fastest, and then to enjoy.
Wow.
You know, so simply because we're talking about vision boards, it seemed appropriate. Your question was, about the international element and how different countries share their values. Yeah. Well, essentially, just as people are made up of their values, countries are made up of their values. Mm. Now, if I put you in Yugoslavia, you might find that you have to operate in a different way. Yugoslavia has broken up now, but you know, the countries that it's made up by, whether it be Serbia, whether it be Croatia, whether it be, let's take you to Croatia, for example. Before, when you were in Yugoslavia, you might find that you're having to curtail your faith in religion or even faith or belief. And now you're in Croatia, where there's a whole different set of values suddenly come about. And you might find that you are emphasizing more on friendship, because in fact, that is your insurance policy. So the way you then operate in that environment will be different to if you were born and brought up in, say, Madagascar. Or it may be different if you were born and brought up in Finland. There, they really value, I found, I was really amazed by how you were able to hear your heartbeat even in the cafe. There are almost more saunas than there are people. They live such that they're very spread out. So when you're a student, rather than all clamoring into, you know, dorms of eight, they'll rather have little studios and live separately and just create a little bit of space and a little bit of distance so that they can hear themselves, so that they can think a little, so that they can contemplate. And the same when you even go to Helsinki and even like the most famous tourist landmark is this like rooftop where you can only go one person at a time. Again, you kind of get to this rooftop, you're by yourself, and you have a little bit of space and time to think. We're in the cafes, they don't play music, so that you can actually hear one another. And then you think about the products that have come out of Finland, such as Nokia, or again, you know, head of communication, like they really led the mobile phone kind of movement initially, or Angry Birds, or there's a sense of really wanting to, really understanding people, being able to listen and being able to communicate and knowing that silence is golden. So, you know, the way one might operate themselves there might be different to how you behave in India or how you behave in, I spoke about Japan, for example, just now. You know, the level of respect in which actually it's so important in Japanese society and it permeates every level of Japanese society. So I guess what I'm saying is that just as when I went around the world and I saw how different countries evolved into different values organically, there's a lesson there for all of us. Yeah. How could your life be different if you valued friendship in that way, in the way the Croatians do, or that you brought in the level of respect with which the Japanese conduct themselves? How would the people around you feel differently and respond differently? How could it change your life? How would it improve or enhance your life? And of course, you are the master of your destiny, so you decide, is it respect that's important to me? Is it friendship? Is it health? Is it solidarity? Is it compassion? What haven't I got? What do I need? Or what would, you know, what there's a difference between aspirational values and inspirational values.
Sure.
Values that will help you to meet a certain objective. But when I do travel, yes, I do see that communities are different and behave differently. And if you or I were born and brought up in any one of those, we would probably reflect those too. Or you know, as well as I do, that, you know, sometimes you go to a certain place to get that sense. So, for example, with America and entrepreneurship, many people go to America to be able to have and explore and live in that value of entrepreneurship. To live the kind of American dream, for example. Equally, other people, I remember when I went to Cuba, I felt, wow, in some ways, this really feels like home, this kind of socialist, I wouldn't call it communist, I would say, definitely say it's a socialist regime, but where, you know, where everyone's equally valued, everyone's equally celebrated, everyone, it doesn't matter what one earns. Right. In fact, one will earn kind of very similar to one another, because it's not about, it's not about your profession. It's the fact that you're a being and you're a part of the community and you are equally valued as to your neighbor and, you know, and your neighbor after that. So you get my point. The different parts of the world have different values.
No, definitely. That's so amazing. I mean, when you look at it from a marketing or a communication element, it's almost suggesting that it's good to find out the values of the people you're working with or the country you're going to, or your customers that you're going to, find out what their values are so you can actually connect with them better. And if it's certain values you want to take on board, then go study them and learn from them and take, you know, increase those values within yourself. I think that's so amazing. I wanted to touch.
But it doesn't take much. The book kind of helps you figure that out quite quickly and gives you those key lessons and tips and tricks quite quickly too, within 15-20 minutes.
So it doesn't
have to be this deep dive.
Yeah.
Of course it helps. The deeper you dive, the better. But you can get a very good sense of it quite quickly. One, of what your values are, and two, what you can learn from others.
No, fantastic. And people, if you want to find out more about it, definitely go get the book. Yeah. So I wanted to touch on five of these five value sections you had. If you could quickly just, you know, just what they are kind of thing. I mean, you got one, which is change values. I mean, briefly, what's change values in within your structure of understanding?
Okay. So the book is called The Values Compass, and change values take you through the core, the values that actually, what you find is that different values help you in different parts of your life. So right now we're in a moment of transition or reset or however you want to call it. And definitely there are certain values that will help you navigate this period of time better than others. And change values will be like that, where you might require values such as diplomacy, forgiveness, problem solving, or you need to be a little bit more adaptable, for example. So that's change values, and there's about 20 of those values. Then we can go into continuity values. Yep. They're the values just as we might, just as much as we desire or wish to have uncertainty and change in our lives, and we want things to be moving forward or progressing, equally, we also crave and desire continuity. Mm. And so continuity values are values such as tradition or stability, care or endurance. So you see the difference. And we you know, as humanity, even whether it's Maslow's needs of, you know, hierarchical needs or otherwise, we desire both continuity or uncertainty and certainty.
Mm-hmm. That's more like what we're going through at this moment in time, right? This change value thing happening around how we basically continue with our lives afterwards, that kind of thing, right?
Yes. Yeah. And then there's the need to connect and be connected, and connection values. There are values such as we spoke about friendship or trust or cooperation or hospitality, love, honor, all these type of values that are so important for building good relationships and feeling like you're part of a community. And then I would take you to communal values, because that's much more about community. Mm-hmm. And, you know, community is not just your family or the community you're in, but of course we're in concentric circles of different communities, communities within our workspace, communities within our environment, communities on, you know, virtual communities, but also communities of, you know, your county, your country, etc. And so these community values are values such as service or enjoyment or cleanliness. Or we spoke about respect or discipline. So they're the type of values that help you be part of something greater than yourself. And then finally, core values, which is really the point of the book, that it helps you figure out what's really driving you. And these core values can be values such as positivity or dignity or diversity or health, passion, commitment, faith, for example. You know, the book is really, it's an easy process or an easy tool to help you get to what is important to you. Mm. And once you've done that, actually, you find that you're able to, the values compass helps you figure out what's also important to those around you. And you find your relationships dramatically improve.
Yeah, yeah.
And as a team, you know, within your workplace, it also is a, it makes a huge difference. I am finding right now that companies are reaching out to me and saying, of all, one, we need inspiration, but two, of all the companies, of all the kind of elements that this period has been difficult for, it's definitely the team. Yeah. It's definitely, you know, imagine if you've just started a job, you don't have the benefit of catching a taxi with your boss and being able to spend 15 minutes just informally talking and learning, or going to the water cooler and being able to interact with people, or especially for those, for the younger people. Yeah. This is a time when they're really needing a safe place where they can explore and where they can learn. And it's a team kind of building exercise that I would say is important now when you're virtual, especially because it just reminds you of, one, what we value in one another, and two, why we are working where we're working and how we could really enhance our kind of giving givingness towards that, because actually it's fulfilling yourself and it would fulfill them. It's like a positive virtuous cycle.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I think you're psychic, because that was covering the next kind of points I wanted to talk about in regards to, you know, businesses and how they have the internal values kind of element of it. Then you have the individuals and their values. And then because one is for businesses to understand their values, one is individuals to understand their values. But then you got that other element when it's almost like whether you're a business or individual to understand other people's values. Right. What can you share around those, that the kind of synergy there, if that makes sense, about how we can connect better, you know, build a better relationship? You've touched on it, just like with the business side of it. But what else can you say about that, about finding out about other people's values?
Well, you find that you are, things naturally become more harmonious, because often you find that people have very similar values. In fact, for example, Republicans and Democrats, you might think, oh, well, we're close to a civil war, or it's, you know, there's so much division in the states. I'm going to be releasing a video today to explain how, when asked, and we did a huge study across Republicans and Democrats, they're actually, that 9 of their top 10 values are exactly the same. What people want out of life and what they would want for their loved ones and their families, and almost what they would want to be said for them at their eulogy, isn't drastically different from one another. But we don't see that until you take a kind of take a step back and take a values perspective. And then you can see, yes, through our values, we're united. It's only through, if you categorize it in our beliefs and get stuck in kind of staunch beliefs, do we feel divided. But we're not. We're exactly the same. So when it comes to understanding the other, there's a huge, it's like your secret weapon, because you can really understand where that person is coming from. Not just the person, but the team, the organization. You can collaborate and communicate at a whole new level.
Mm-hmm. And that's like the essence of rapport, isn't it? It's like being able to understand others and their values, and then be able to talk to those people in those values. So you can, like you said, it just naturally becomes harmonious when that happens, right? It's something that you're sharing about. There's a lot that we've covered there, and there's a lot more in your book as well, which I think is highly recommended. I mean, I've just started reading it and I've already got hooked, thinking, wow, this is pretty cool, because it's all part of, you know, communication, connecting, inspiring others. Mandir, I think you've shared quite a bit of good content there. I mean, are there any kind of last words you want to share with people in regards to values on and how they can get the best out of those?
Simply that, you know, right now you can think of a period in your life. You could probably think, okay, until I get to my next promotion, or until we come out of this period, or whilst, you know, for perhaps the next year or the next 3 years or the next 5 years, do yourself a favor, do this process, so that you are equipping yourself with your touchstone. And so that then the time that you're spending every minute, every day, is in line with what's truly going to fill your cup. And you find that then the way you walk, the way you, just the joie de vivre, like the passion you have for life, would be dramatically different.
And if anybody wants to get in touch with you, what's the best thing for them to do?
If anybody wants to get in touch, well, feel free, please. I'm on every platform, whether it be Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. LinkedIn is great. Or Clubhouse, indeed. Or my email or my website. My website is www.mandeep-rai.com. So there are ample ways. Please don't hesitate. It would be lovely to hear from you. And of course, you can go through to Tinder if you fail all of that. But
you.
LinkedIn is a great way. I'm finding that to be really direct.
Awesome, awesome. Cool. I hope you guys had value from that. And definitely reach out to Mandeep. Read the book. It's a good book. It's a good read. And I'll see you guys next time. Thank you very much. Thank you for listening to the Digital Rapport podcast. If you have any questions or would like to find out more about what I'm up to, then make your way over to www.digital-rapport.com, where you can find out how to turn your skills and knowledge into a profitable authority business online.